Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Friday, July 25th, and we have some great conversations lined up as usual for today. We're going to talk about some life issues today. We're going to talk about the Coalition for Life, Ending Abortion in St. Louis, Coalition for Life St. Louis. We're going to talk with the executive director here in just a few minutes, and we'll also try to check in with Ed Zito from Washington, D.C. He's our coordinator for Life Ministries in Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. We'll talk with him near the end of the hour as well. Hope you can join us for all the conversation as we're talking about important life issues right here on Faith and Family today. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. To find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin, go to our website, kfuo.org. Look for the CUW logo in the sponsor section there. You'll find it, and click on that. That'll take you to Concordia University, Wisconsin's page. You can find out all about the programs they have to offer, where they're located, not just in Wisconsin, including a site right here in St. Louis, right across the street. So go check it out, kfuo.org, and look for the CUW logo. Well, joining me in studio today, we have Brian Westbrook. He's the executive director for Coalition for Life St. Louis. Brian, welcome to Worldwide KFUO. Thanks for being our guest in studio today.
Well, it's a pleasure, Andy. Thanks for having me.
I'm looking forward to hearing about Coalition for Life St. Louis. Tell us about the beginnings of Coalition for Life.
So it started way back in 2009 when it was actually the year prior. My wife and I were really looking for a way to get involved in our community. Our son was over at Cardinal Glennon Hospital. He was in ICU for 11 days. He was only 4 weeks old. And as new parents, it really changed our life. And so in 2008, we were looking for a way to change the world and make a difference and give back to all those people that helped our little boy. And so we saw this issue of abortion as being one of the most pivotal issues that we face today, much like slavery or segregation, all these different issues we face. And so my mother-in-law, she came to us and told us that she personally had had an abortion 35, 40 years prior, and she shared how horrible that experience was and how it dramatically changed the rest of the course of her life. And so we were really looking for a way to get involved. And this idea of 40 Days for Life popped up. And we decided, along with a couple of different people up in North County, that we would launch it here locally. It's literally just 40 days of prayer and fasting, peaceful vigil, and grassroots community outreach to bring an end to abortion at the local level. But it's tied to a national and now international campaign that is outside of abortion facilities or referral offices or public buildings at 300-400 different sites all around the world. And so we launched that in 2009. We had great success, and people came out to the local abortion facility. And as we continued to grow, we needed more support. We needed more structure. And so in 2011, my wife and I decided that I would quit my engineering job of 6 years and found the Coalition for Life to not just do this 40 Days for Life campaign twice a year, although that's extremely powerful. And we have thousands of people from all different denominations come out and pray with us. But also, we're going to do something very special called Sidewalk Counseling, where not only are we going to go out with signs and prayers, which are extremely important, but also we're going to reach out our hand. We're going to say, we can help you. We can do something to pull you out of this situation. I would say 90% of those women that we speak to on a daily basis out in front of this, the last remaining abortion facility in the entire state of Missouri, and that's Planned Parenthood here on Forest Park Avenue, this one location, 90% of them don't want to do it. They don't want to go through this. They're being pressured into it by parents or boyfriends or somebody else. And they really believe that it's their only choice, which is the big lie, right? Pro-choice. I mean, abortion is basically what they believe is their only choice. And so as we reach our hands out and we offer free resources, free support through so many different pregnancy centers all around the state, we can reach our hands out and say, you can do this. And so we've developed a very strategic strategy out on the sidewalk, where in the past we would see maybe 15 to 20 girls in an entire year's time frame decide, okay, yeah, I get what you're saying, and I probably won't go through with this abortion. Last year, we saw 370 girls decide to change their mind, go to the pregnancy center, listen to what they have to say, and ultimately choose life and choose a very positive path for their life. So far this year, we've seen 235 girls leave. So continuing to grow, continuing to impact those young ladies, all as young as 14 years old, and maybe I'll tell a little story here. When my very first time out to the sidewalk, by the way, my wife had to literally drag me out to the sidewalk to pray for the very first time. I continued to push it away and say, no, somebody else's issue. Somebody else is going to deal with it. It's not our problem. And even if it is our problem, I don't really know how to solve this problem. It's not something that I can really do anything about. And so also I was worried about, colleagues and friends and other people. What would they think, right? Well, that all changed in the summer of 2008 as we began to developed this idea of the 40 Days campaign and the Coalition for Life. And we went out and I stood there, and we didn't have any signs. We didn't have any literature. And all we had was our hands in folded prayer. And we looked around and we saw this young girl stumble out that Planned Parenthood abortion facility and almost fall down the steps, these concrete steps out there. And I caught eye of her, and my wife and I, we turned to each other and we said, hey, we really need to focus. We need to pray for this young girl. And she must have been about 14 years old. And not long after this, large white SUV pulled in, didn't bother stopping the car, didn't bother getting out, but she stumbled into the passenger seat and rolled around. And we stood there as the car stopped. And this girl was crying uncontrollably. And I couldn't believe it, but as cars were driving by, and I literally dropped to my knees. Now, I was not a praying on your knees type of guy at all. And I did. I dropped to my knees and I prayed for this young girl. And I said, God, whatever it is, I need to be able to help her. Can you help her? Because I can't, because there's this fence in the way. There's so much distraction here. But today I'm asking you to take care of her. What's interesting is that when you ask these things, he says that, well, there's a reason that I put you on this earth. And she drove away, and I don't know what happened to that story, but I do know that this 14, 15-year-old girl changed my life forever and certainly changed the St. Louis area forever. Since then, we have now over 5,000 volunteers who have come out from so many different denominations all around the St. Louis area. And we come from over 145 different churches here locally around the greater St. Louis area. So we're really, really glad about continuing the Coalition for Life. And our ultimate goal is ending abortion in the St. Louis area peacefully and prayerfully, and not do it in any confrontational way necessarily, not to... Abortion isn't controversial, but to continue to do it in a peaceful and prayerful way. And I really appreciate you, Andy, giving us an opportunity to tell the people here about that.
Certainly. Glad to talk about it. And I appreciate you sharing that personal story from your own experience being right out there on the sidewalk and talking about the fact that you're like everybody else. You're a guy like everybody else. You were working, an honest job in an engineer, you said, for 6 years.
Yes.
And
yes.
And then what type of engineering were you doing?
We did control systems engineering. We did food, beverage, and pharmaceutical programming in so many different plants all around the country.
And so you're working as an engineer for 6 years and have this, really, this life-changing event. Well, two life-changing events. Your son's hospital stay and then started talking about how you can... what you can do to make a difference,
right?
And get involved and get started with Coalition, get the Coalition for Life started here in St. Louis, the 40 Days for Life. Is that what?
Yes. 40 Days for Life campaign. And it's twice a year, once in the spring during Lent, and then once in the fall, right before the fall elections.
And then you're at one of the abortion clinic here in St. Louis.
Right.
Witness a young lady stumble out. and just fall to your knees in prayer.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely. And again, I was just a normal guy. In fact, as I had mentioned earlier, my wife had to kind of drag me out there. And it wasn't something that I wanted to do. And it was something that I was very, very uncomfortable about. But what was interesting about that day was that, again, we didn't have signs or anything else. But the response from those people passing by was extremely mixed. Like, they knew that our reason for being out there, even though we didn't publicize our reason, was because they knew abortion was wrong. And so we got people calling us number one with the middle finger, and, and we were like, you know, wow, we're number one. you always have to, you know, be an obvious, a positive response. But it was very, very interesting just seeing the people pass by and their reaction with just two people. Well, my son was with us as well. Just literally standing in front of a place that takes the life of 6,000 children every single year. So many of the people, and I would say even your listeners today, had gone through an abortion. And I would encourage them to find healing. I know that the Lutheran Church provides healing. I know that there's a group called Project Rachel. Thrive has a Thrive is the local pregnancy center. They have something, a post-abortive healing ministry as well. And so we highly encourage that if you are post-abortive, that you find some healing, and know that our group is not just praying for those women who are going in, but those women who come back out and those women who for so many years may be struggling with this issue.
You mentioned that when you were right there in front of the abortion clinic, that people were driving by with not nice things to say, with, you know, they knew that you were there for a reason, that you were there because you know that abortion is wrong, that it's taking the life of children. Did you, while you were out there, did you ever feel in danger?
No, I wouldn't say in danger. Intimidated, maybe, but certainly not in danger of any kind. It's a very public place. There's lots of people passing by on the street, and it's a very clean environment there in the Central West End. It's actually, they're building a lot of new construction around there recently. So no, I never felt afraid at all. And I would say that my wife never felt afraid. And even our children, we bring our children out. I have three children now. And they never feel necessarily afraid, but there is a sense of wow, of amazement that we get the opportunity to do this work day in and day out. And we're now on the sidewalk 6 days a week. I got a team of 11 people, you know, college interns who are working the street 6 days a week, about 40 hours a week, reaching our hands out. What we find is that if you come out with a really positive attitude, it's really fun, actually. We have some people who have been doing this for a long time, and they're like, well, you know, we need to you know, not have so much fun out here. But why not? Why not? I mean, doing God's work is something we should be joyful about. And so we've got a great team. It's funny, I'm 30 years old and founded this organization about 3 years ago, and I'm the oldest one on our staff. So we're extremely, extremely blessed to have financial support along with 5,000 volunteers from all around the area who have learned that if we go out and we witness what's happening in our community, when we go back to the dinner table, when we go back to church, when we go back and talk to our pastor, that we have a real experience of what abortion is. We can see it happening. We can see those young ladies going in, coming back out. We know that these are our neighbors. I believe that, I'm not exactly a pastor, but I, from what I know, you know, the Bible doesn't say that we need to preach or love the world, but it does say we have to love our neighbor. And I would say that our neighbor is right here at the local community, and sure, I would say around the world, but our focus is, let's start here. Let's start at home.
You mentioned that what you learn there, the harsh realities that you see, that you learn right there on that sidewalk, you take back to the dinner table and the conversations with family, friends, in your congregations, your churches. And take that what you see there and bring it back to the conversation. What are the facts? What are the statistics for the St. Louis area, for Missouri, when it comes to matters of abortion?
Sure. We see about 6,000 abortions that happened in the St. Louis area, the last remaining abortion facility in the state. However, we see about 10,000 Missourians, Missouri girls, getting abortions. So they're going over to a place in Granite City called the Hope Clinic. I'm not sure why they call it the Hope Clinic, because there's no hope there. And they also go over. I was actually in Kansas City yesterday. We're working with a group over there who is attempting to address three abortion facilities on the Kansas side, in the Kansas City area over there. These are our girls. These are those that we should be protecting by our laws. We should be protecting them by our actions. And Missouri is actually is the front runner on many of these protection laws for our young ladies who are being sold the lie that abortion is going to be taking away all of their problems. And so we're really excited about, and I'll give a shout out to Missouri Right to Life and Sam Lee and all the different people there in Jeff City who are working their tails off to bring us good quality legislation that will protect these young ladies. But again, 10,000 abortions from our Missouri girls each year is too many. It's way too many. And again, what I said is that 90% of them are because they're feeling forced into it, pressured into it from families and friends who say, hey, you know, you shouldn't have been doing, you know, what you were doing. And we don't feel that this is something great for our family. And or it's financial reasons or all different other reasons. Mm-hmm. But it comes back to not being open to life. And I would say I have one of the things that I get, we have a big, long email list of all different our supporters. And when I send out an email about someone who's struggling about with the decision about abortion or not, I get several emails back every time that says, I will gladly adopt them.
Wow.
And there's this huge network. I sat in several rooms. There's a group called Bethany here locally who does local adoption. And I sat in a room. There were 100 people in this room, so about 50 couples, desperately wanting to adopt a child, while only about 1% of those abortion-minded girls will actually put their children up for adoption. The others, those 99%, will ultimately parent their child. And it's a very interesting stigma, I suppose, about adoption. And I think one of the things we need to focus on is, you know, in our families, talking about adoption as a really genuine, good option, and knowing that there's hundreds mm-hmm. of people in the local area who are ready and willing to take care of that young child.
I know that would present a lot of, I don't know, it would be a very difficult thing to do to give a child for adoption. It's a noble thing to do when you can do that, take that step and give that child up for adoption so that that child can have a family that can provide the care for him or her that they need. I'm sure it doesn't surprise me that it's about 1%, you said.
Yes.
Probably about 1 in 99 that will actually go through on that. But thanks be to God for those families that are willing to step up to the plate, because quite often we hear from the opposition, well, who's going to care for these children, especially if they have special needs? Who's going to take responsibility for them? Well, look at all these families that are ready to do that and willing to do that.
Absolutely.
Well, what else can we, what else does Coalition for Life do? You're out on the sidewalks there. You volunteers all the time out on the sidewalks, just there to pray for these young women, to pray for women who are considering abortion and those who are going in and coming out of that building. What else does Coalition for Life do?
So that's obviously our main focus, mm-hmm. is doing the 40 Days for Life campaign, one in the spring, one in the fall, and then obviously the sidewalk counseling throughout the year. But we also have we're taking on a new initiative, and that's focusing back on our youth, but back on the student body, our high schoolers and our college students. Those are the individuals who are going and getting these abortions most of all. And so we're actually launching, for the first time ever, a student conference where it's going to be March 28th of next year. It's actually going to be right down the street at Chaminade High School. And we're bringing in pro-life speakers from all around the country. But instead of just a fun day where pro-life speakers are going to talk and you listen and you go back home, we're actually going to educate these young people on how then to go and talk within their schools, mm-hmm. and within their peer base about the topic of abortion. Quite frankly, many of them may not know the different alternatives out there. There's Thrive, Birthright, Our Ladies In provides housing for these young ladies. I think Missouri Baptist Children's Home does an amazing job providing some great quality care for these young ladies. So just educating them on that angle, but then also how to even talk about this subject. Because many times we hear from the opposition who make the argument, there's actually three major arguments that the opposition will have. Number one, that it's not human. Number two, that it's, okay, if you can prove that it's a human, then it's not a person. But then again, even if you can prove that the unborn is a person, they even make the argument that the rights of that young unborn person are trumped by the rights of the mother to terminate what they call the pregnancy. I was listening to a debate recently of actually a very fluent individual who was quote-unquote pro-choice or for abortion, and he frankly said, well, if we can prove that it's human and we can prove that it's a person with the same rights that everybody else is, it doesn't really matter because the rights of the mother somehow trump the rights of that little unborn child. And this is what our society is mm-hmm. getting to. We're actually moving into in Washington, state of Washington, state of Oregon, it is now legal to kill off grandma. It is now legal to have an assisted suicide for anyone, literally, in those two states now, and many people are advocating for that around the country. So euthanasia is the next big topic that we need to be talking about, because if in the abortion issue, it doesn't matter if they're human, it doesn't matter if they have persons, but our rights as somehow more or stronger or bigger people who are smarter, maybe our rights trump the rights of those who are less fortunate, or may be sick for whatever reason. So we're going to be teaching a lot of these basic things to these young people on March 28th, and we continue to do a lot of outreach within our churches.
So you have some other events coming up, Coalition for Life, here in St. Louis. What are some of those other events coming up in the very near future, actually?
Actually, yes. And I appreciate you giving me an opportunity to talk about it.
Sure.
First off, we have a pastor's breakfast on August 7th, and it's in the same parking lot here, right next door at Vianney High School. Mm-hmm. They're a great supporter of ours. Their youth group, pro-life youth group, come out to the sidewalk with us. Through participation and partnership with Vianney High School, we're hosting on August 7th a pastor's breakfast. So free breakfast, everyone come out. But specifically for pastors' wives, youth pastors, and anyone who holds some leadership, maybe deacons, who hold some leadership in the church. And we want to be able to empower and first off, thank all of our leaders, mm-hmm. for taking a stand for life, because so many different denominations and different groups are falling by the wayside, falling victim to the popular culture, and falling victim to what's new. but not actually staying true to what's right. And so we want to first off thank all the pastors and priests and deacons and all the people who have led us to where we're at today, but then also empower them. Mark Newman is going to be coming and from California. He's going to be our guest for that. It's going to be 8:30 in the morning at Vianney High School at their art gallery. And actually, I just found out that a few days ago that the art gallery is closing after our event. It's a beautiful art gallery.
It is.
What, you've been over there?
I've not been on the inside, but I've seen the outside.
I mean, it's just amazing, the artwork. But the individual, he was, I believe, a monk or brother who was over there has recently died. Mm-hmm. And so no new artwork from him. And so they're deciding to close that. So ours is going to be the final event at the art gallery over at Vianney High School. So So we invite people to come out. Mark Newman, who's our speaker, is from California. He's a professor of speech and debate at the California, and I think you've got the university there.
He's at the University of California at Irvine.
Right. So, mm-hmm. Right. And so he also travels around the country and teaches different pro-life leaders how to speak about the topic of abortion. So what we're going to be doing there is help to empower and equip our leaders to continue to speak about the topic of abortion. So that's going to be the morning at 8:30 in the morning. And we thought it would be great to put two events on the same day. And so same at Vianney High School in the gymnasium that evening, we have our annual dinner, our annual banquet, hopefully to continue to support our ministry for the next year. We don't do much fundraising at all. Quite honestly, we spend 95% of our time specifically on our mission of ending abortion. And we just take one night out of the year and we ask for financial support. And so far, it's been very successful. And so on that evening at 7 o'clock, Mark Newman is going to speak again to the general audience. Right now, we have well over 400 people who are already signed up and ready to be there. And so that number is ticking up pretty quickly. And so we need to, if you want to RSVP, you can. By the way, our website is coalitionforlifestl.com, or you can call our office at 314-827-4039. That's 314-827-4039.
Very good. So they can find out about the pastor's breakfast. Now, you mentioned not everybody's a pastor, but a lot of people have a pastor, so they can point their pastor to this and attend. Now, what would pastors gain from this type of event?
I would say number one, encouragement. I think as leaders within the church, there's so many different messages being bombarded. But number one, encouragement from us and from Mark. He's an excellent speaker, and he can encourage you. But number two, and even more importantly, we're going to be giving you sample sermons to take back to the congregation and share with them. We're going to be giving you specific techniques about and encouragement for how to talk about post-abortive issues. And those women, many pastors that I speak with are concerned about those men and women mm-hmm. together who have gone through an abortion experience. And if I talk about it from the pulpit, I may hurt them or damage that. And maybe they'll leave my church. And there's some worries there, and rightfully so. But what we're going to be talking about is how to address that issue in a way that's powerful, yet also very sensitive to those people who are also sitting in the pews. And I think there's very few people or organizations there out there that are encouraging pastors in this way. And so Mark is going to come in as our expert in speech and debate, and he's going to bring that message to us that day. So we're really excited to have him come in.
Very good. And then that evening at the dinner for the public. And now this is a fundraiser, did you say?
Yes.
The dinner of the evening. Okay.
Yeah. And so it's free of charge. You can come in. We do require you to RSVP on our website or mm-hmm. or by calling our office at Coalition for Life. And we would love to have as many people who would like to come in and just, number one, learn about our ministry, because we're actually going to be making a large announcement about some new programs that we really haven't discussed at all today. So we're going to be talking about some new programs that are coming up, but also sharing some of the success stories, some of the amazing things that happen out on the sidewalk. What I haven't mentioned is that I did mention we have 11 people on our staff. Within 3 years, I ended up hiring 11 people, so we're fast growing. We have 2 full-time people, but the rest of them are part-time college interns, college students. So that's called, we call it the Life Choice Internship Program. And what I've found is that out of this program, there's such an amazing growth in these young college students. And I was just looking for cheap labor. Yeah. but what we find is that over the course of the time of them going from kind of in their shell, an introvert, many of these college students have just blossomed into amazing leaders in their community, at their school, and in their church. And so they're going to be there at the dinner on August 7th at 7 o'clock p.m. And they're going to be sharing their testimony about the young ladies that they've been talking to, the young men who they've encountered there on the sidewalk. And we're actually going to be sharing one very special story. I just interviewed Pat Castle, who's back in the Missouri area. He does a group called Life Runners and also heads up the Vitae Caring Foundation. So I wanted to give him a little shout out. But we interviewed him about a very special story, and we'll be sharing that on August 7th.
Now, you mentioned before we went on the air today that you, Life Runners, convinced you to do some running. Not last year?
Yeah, it was about a year ago. They convinced me to do a half marathon, and I, by no means am I a runner at all. but I was encouraged by them and their group here. And so I ran the Rock and Roll Marathon, half marathon. 13 miles is plenty. I don't need to do 26. And you know, after that day, I gave up exercise.
Maybe that wasn't a good life choice.
But no, I'm. I get plenty of exercise with my 3 kids at home, and we keep running around and having lots of fun. It was a great event, and we were out there, and the tagline is "Remember the Unborn." Mm-hmm. And so we've got a great team of life runners here in the St. Louis area, and they support and they raise money for local pro-life groups. So we're really excited to have them on board.
How important, looking at all the churches and other organizations, other entities that are connected with Coalition for Life, that support Coalition for Life St. Louis, how important are these partnerships?
Oh, I mean, they are critical to what we have going on. We have about 145 different supporting churches, and these are groups who take a day of prayer on the sidewalk during the upcoming 40 Days for Life campaign. There's one in the fall that's going to come up in September, late in September, right before the November elections that come up. And so these supporting churches are mostly supporting us through volunteer efforts, through their time, through their energy, through the pastor getting up in front of the individuals, in front of the congregation, and saying, guess what? We need to be out there. We need to do something about this tragedy of abortion. And guess what? It's happening right here in our community, right around the corner. And we can literally do something. We can reach our hands out and save the life of a baby. And so through the churches, through all those different supporting groups, they're encouraging people to come out. They're the ones who are you know, doing all of our outreach for us. And so we're really, really excited to have them. Because, yeah, we got 11 people on staff, but we can only do so much. And so the churches are the most critical element to get the word out for us. So if you're a new church and maybe you're listening and your name isn't on our list on our website, maybe it should be. And so we encourage you to go to coalitionforlifestl.com or give us a call at 314-827-4039.
Well, very good. And a quick rundown of the details again for the events that are coming up. The Coalition for Life, St. Louis, the Coalition for Life Pastor's Breakfast coming up on Thursday, August 7th
at 8:30 in the morning.
And you can RSVP for that online as well, or they can give you a call.
Just give us a call at the phone number we mentioned earlier.
Sure. And or the Coalition for Life benefit dinner that same evening, Thursday, August 7th. And that's at the same place.
At Vianney High School, but we thought we'd book out the gymnasium. And so that's 7 o'clock in the evening. They can do that online, coalitionforlifestl.com. Just click our benefit dinner button. Again, it's free of charge unless maybe you're a supporting church or a supporting group and you'd like to sponsor a table. We'd love for you to sponsor a table. But, you know, our main mission is to preach the word and to go out there and really get the word out about this tragedy of abortion, but not just the tragedy of abortion, but how we can make a dramatic impact here at the local community.
You mentioned earlier about 6,000 abortions in the St. Louis area every year. Have we seen that number decline at all in the last year or two? Or is changing at all?
Well, the numbers that come out are normally about 2 or 3 years behind.
I see.
So it's difficult to see direct and immediate results. But when we started, there were certainly there has been a decline. Our first year out, there was about a 9% decline in abortions in the St. Louis area. And that number has come down, but I don't have exact data from that just yet.
But about 6,000 a year, we've still got work to do. That number needs to be zero.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, we've been talking with Brian Westbrook. He's the executive director for Coalition for Life here in St. Louis. Brian, thanks so much for being our guest here at Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO.
Thank you, Andy. I appreciate it.
Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to check in with Ed Zito. He is the coordinator for LCMS Life Ministries. Hope you can join us for that conversation, listeners. Stick around for more Faith and Family right after this on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
A big battle is brewing in Tennessee over abortion. The state's Supreme Court manufactured a right to abortion in the Constitution and said no to any protective legislation on abortion. We're talking about common sense laws like informed consent, waiting periods, or regulation of abortion mills. As a result, people from all over the state are promoting Amendment 1, which will be on the ballot this November. It's a state constitutional amendment that'll make it possible to put protections in place for Tennessee's women and their babies. Visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org to get information on what you can do to help, whether or not you live in Tennessee. And please join me in praying for the success of this effort to protect mothers and their babies.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
The Apostle Paul once wrote to the Ephesians, "In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance." I'm Mark Hawkinson. I get guarantees for this or that purchase I make all the time. But this guarantee comes as a result of God's purchase of you. I invite you to join me for Sunday's Moments of Assurance at 9:15 a.m. on Worldwide KFUO.
Finding just the right partner is a blessing when it comes to achieving God's plans. Hi, I'm Rich Robertson, President and CEO of the Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Before taking this position, I worked with LCEF in my home congregation. It was a joy to find a true Lutheran partner that understood our unique needs as we built a school and welcomed new families into our church and community. I hope you experience that joy too. Visit lcef.org to find out how your ministry can become empowered in its kingdom work.
A boy born in Joplin, Missouri was fascinated by anything with wheels and a motor. The odds of him going on to fascinate millions with his talent? 1 in 260,000. The odds of this born racer having 157 career top 10 finishes in NASCAR? 1 in 125 billion. But every driver seeks the pinnacle of their achievements. The odds of him winning both the Daytona 500 and the Brickyard 400 in the same year? 1 in 195 million. The odds of a child being diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I'm NASCAR driver Jamie McMurray, and my niece has autism. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Jesus and the Bible exhorts us to agreement in all biblical teachings. I'm Rod Zwanitzer, one of the four hosts of Concord Matters, a show with that worthy goal, Concord, inviting you to join us Saturday mornings at 10 and repeated Tuesdays at 2 p.m., as well as 24/7 on demand.
Listen to Concord Matters on the Messenger of Good News, KFUO.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Thanks so much for joining us today. We've got on the line today, Ed Zito. He is the coordinator for LCMS Life Ministries and also certified lay minister. Welcome back to Faith and Family, Ed.
Hey, Andy. Thank you very much. Thanks. Glad to be here.
Thanks so much for taking some time. Now, you're in Washington, D.C., is that correct?
Yeah, just outside of it.
Very good. And so tell us, there are quite a few things. It seems like every day there's something going on in the news when it comes to matters of life and the human life and the sanctity of life and religious freedom as well in this country. July 21st, President Obama's executive order. Tell us about that.
Well, basically, President Obama signed an executive order which amended two previous executive orders that have been around for many years, since 1965 and 1969. And those two executive orders provided protection for equal opportunity employment in the federal government and in contractors to the federal government. So that basically it was the foundation of our equal opportunity employment laws that exist now. So those laws state that you cannot discriminate against somebody based on their race, their color, their religion, sex, and national origin, handicap, or age. What President Obama's executive order did was that it inserted the words sexual orientation and gender identity in that list of protected classes, so to speak.
So then what are the questions that come up with this new executive order? What are the questions then that surround this?
Well, the main concern is that there are no provisions for exemptions based on your religion and your faith. So faith-based organizations, if somebody applies for a job and the applicant, their beliefs or their actions in terms of sexual orientation and gender identity do not agree with that organization's beliefs, the organization will be forced to hire that person.
Hmm. This comes back to religious freedom then and matters of conscience, just like we were dealing with Hobby Lobby before.
Absolutely. One commentator, Ryan Anderson from the Heritage Foundation, he's written extensively on this. But his big issue is that sexual orientation and gender identity are both terms that are ambiguous and that they can refer to voluntary behaviors, whereas race and sex are traits and that those traits don't affect the person's fitness for the job. So there's a big concern that we're going to be forced to operate outside of what we believe. And again, it comes back to the whole religious freedom issue that we've been talking about for so many years now. Another thing that has been pointed out was that this executive order was not necessary. Again, this executive order mainly focuses on the federal government and contractors to the federal government. But according to recent surveys, many of the top federal contractors already have voluntary policies in place preventing discrimination against sexual orientation or gender identity. But what the executive order now does is that it will now basically discriminate against those organizations that make a conscious choice based on their faith.
So then this could affect, it may or may not affect churches, but really where I think it seems to me, based on what you've shared, where this is really going to create a problem are agencies of the church or religious service organizations, recognized service organizations, agencies like that. This is where it's really going to raise some questions, isn't it?
Absolutely. As you said, it's not going to necessarily affect churches, but it'll affect all our Christian adoption agencies, Lutheran Social Services, Catholic Charities. These agencies receive federal money, and therefore they're considered contractors for the federal government. And so, let's say a transgendered person chooses to apply for a job at a Christian adoption agency, you will not be allowed to deny that person employment based on that action or belief of the person. Other examples, as you mentioned, are other recognized service organizations, just such as humanitarian relief organizations that receive federal funds. One big organization that I was in a meeting with last week that was very concerned is World Vision. They receive much monies from the government to do their work around the world, but under this new executive order, they're going to be facing some difficult challenges ahead.
So this certainly is something that, while it's fairly new, the questions are going to continue to arise, I'm sure, over the months and weeks ahead.
Absolutely. It's only going to begin to unfold as we see how the executive order is implemented as a law. I believe they have 90 days to write the actual legislation to implement what was signed by President Obama on Monday.
Other matters concerning life or religious freedom that you're learning about right there in the heart of all the I guess all these matters that come up in for our country.
Yeah, there are many things happening certainly around the world. There's a lot of Christian persecution that is happening right now in Iraq, mm-hmm. in Mosul. Christians have been expelled from the city or killed. There have been photographs posted on the internet of Christians who have been crucified because they refused to recant of Christianity, with the understanding that these were Muslims who have converted to Christianity. So there's a lot of things happening, and we're faced with this persecution around the world. You know, here in the U.S., we don't feel it or see it just yet, but the attack on our religious liberty is certainly the first step towards additional persecutions.
Sure. You bring up an interesting point when it comes to this religious persecution to the extreme, taking in a gruesome way, taking the life of Christians. You don't see this nearly in mainstream media nearly as much in the U.S.
No, you don't. In fact, one incident that I referred to in the mainstream media, the men who were crucified were characterized as rebel fighters, as if they were partaking in an armed conflict with those who had killed them, which is in reality not the case.
So the those being persecuted, it's because of their faith, because they are confessing Christians.
Absolutely. As I mentioned, the one particular case I was talking about were Muslim men who had converted to Christianity, and they were told to recant of that conversion, and they did not. So it is absolutely because of their faith that they were killed.
And so I believe, if I recall correctly, that it was considered apostasy in their Muslim religion,
correct.
Islam, correct?
Right. They would consider, it was considered apostasy. It was the crime they were charged with. And that's happening more and more, in the Middle East, where these persecutions are happening, not just, economically, like here, as President Obama's executive order has the potential for doing, but over there, physically, where their lives, are taken because of their faith.
Wow. Any other matters in that pertain to life issues? We're looking forward to the Coalition for Life here in St. Louis. They have a couple of events. We were just talking with Matt Westbrook from the Coalition for Life in St. Louis. Any other issues that are coming up in the news that are matters of life today?
Well, there's always something that will come up regarding life issues. But most importantly, we just want to remind everybody that in January 2015, we'll be having a life conference, which will include participation in the National March for Life. The speaker lineup is great, and we hope people will start registering for that event. And start making plans, because it is a couple of months away, but you know how things go.
Absolutely.
there are always things that come up, and that's why it's so important to constantly be checking the news to see what's happening in our country, in our government, because what happens in the state houses and in the Capitol building affects our lives daily.
If our listeners would like to find out more about LCMS Life Ministry, you can go to lcms.org/life, and you can find information there about a number of things that pertain to life ministry, a lot of life issues that are dealt with there, a whole life library, and a lot of matters there that you can read up on. And it's important to stay on top of these things. What would we be covering in the conference that you mentioned coming up in January?
The conference, the theme is "It's Your Turn, It's Your Time to Stand." We're urging people to understand that we live in two kingdoms, and we have the spiritual kingdom, of course, of the church. But as American citizens, we have an obligation to reflect our faith in our daily lives, and that daily life includes our forms of government. And so, our goal is to encourage Lutherans specifically to speak out about their faith, why that's important, how we are trying to protect human life, trying to protect things that are good for society, like traditional marriage, and trying to protect things that our nation is founded on, which is religious liberty. So those are things that, as Christians, we need to speak out about and be involved with, because we do live in the two kingdoms, and we need to be involved in our local political process.
And to be informed as well.
Yes, absolutely. And you need to be informed, because, as you mentioned earlier, the mainstream media often does not cover the news that's important to us, the news that we need to know about. And so you need to search out other sources for this information.
We've been talking with Ed Zito. He's coordinator for LCMS Life Ministries. Ed, thanks so much for being our guest on Faith and Family today, keeping us informed.
Thank you, Andy.
Coming up in just a little bit, we've got the Bible study. Hope you can stick around for that as we study God's Word. Reverend Craig D'Onofrio hosting today. Hope you can stick around for that and other great programming right here on listener-supported worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.